All right, so let's just begin with a word. Father, I do thank you for this time that we have where we can study your word and to glean a portion of what you have in there, just for now, for us here today at this moment. Your word is very special in the sense that it is pertinent to us, that every time that we read Scripture, there's something in there to be absorbed. There's something in there for us to learn, for us to see your character, for us to know your will. So help us to see that very thing today. I pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us, for me in speaking it, and for you for listening and absorbing what needs to be retained. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is eternal, and we are here because we love you. And this is our prayer through Christ. Amen. So it seems kind of bad, but today we're going to be talking about a lie. Yeah, and I remember, yeah, honestly, Jackie's gone. I remember when I first started teaching, and I was like really, really green when I first started teaching. I look back now at some of the stuff that the way I did it, it's just, it's kind of humiliating in a way, I think sometimes. Not that I was mean to the kids and everything, but I was just so green, I just didn't know stuff. And I remember this one experience I had, right? I don't know, it was in the first year, and I don't know how many months it was in, but it wasn't very long into teaching. And because I was like working on farms before, and I was, you know, just kind of, I don't say isolated, but there was only a few people that I associated with, just because of what my job was, that to be amongst all these different people, it was really kind of different. Because there's so many different personalities and so many different things that you came in contact with. And this one situation I had was, it wasn't really a conflict at all with this one child. I didn't see it that way, but he wasn't doing his work. And so I spoke to him, and then I had passed him a paper in which to do some more work on. And it was, I can't remember what the class was, but even... I don't do an awful lot of paperwork, or never did. It was more the hands-on expectations that the kids were going to, behave and then stay focused. Well, I remember handing him this piece of paper, and he went to go grab it, and just as he went to grab it, either the paper came out of my hand or there was a mismatch and the paper went on the floor. He blew a gasket. And so, it just went on and on and on. I'm like, I said, we're done with this. And I just told him, I said, you need to go to the office and... because I can't teach when you're just like this. So we ended up having this principal-student-teacher meeting. It was my first one. And I was like, oh, this is I knew this was going to come someday. This is before Jeff's days as principal and stuff. And we got in there, and I remember sitting at the chair on this side, and the student was on this side, and the principal was in the front. And this student just went off and just started telling this humongous story that there wasn't one bit of truth in it. It was nothing but the whole thing was a lie. And of course, he was the traumatized child, and I was the beast in the room that was, there to destroy him in everything that I did. And I just stood there, sat there, and I'm sure it was one of those things. I just stood with my jaw open. I'd never heard anybody lie like that before. It was my first experience into the public school as working with people. And he was good at it. I mean, if I was just in that room, I would have believed him. It's like, that's kind of my heart. It's like, why would he have any reason to lie and stuff like that? And he left, and then the principal was really good. And he says, Mike, I'm just going to tell you right now, you need to remember everything that you do. And sometimes you got to write stuff down, and you've got to be strong that way, I think, that you're not going to have these kids walk over you. I mean, I don't think the kid was walking over me, and I think the principal was kind to me in the sense that he protected me from my own innocence, I guess, of what students can really be like. And so I do appreciate that about him. But I think it was my real first experience with how someone can just lie so blatantly, and I don't think I'm ever going to forget that, because I don't say it traumatized me, but it woke me up in terms of my responsibility as a teacher and my responsibility of what I want to be. And then it carries over even to in the realm of pastoring and stuff too, that I don't want us to be lied to. I don't want us to lie. And when I'm talking about lying, I'm talking about not just saying a fib, but believing a lie. So this is what this message is today, is about sometimes the lie that we might be told, and how we have to make sure that we really know the truth. So the first scripture that I have is in Romans chapter 1. And I think Paul really hits it on the button, is that he speaks about us, not just us, but the world, that have forsaken Christ to believe a lie. That something that has been told to the people that, you know, you can be your own God, that you can be like God, that you can do whatever you want to do. And you can be a nice person or whatever you want to be. It's up to you. You can make that choice. But Paul's heart and his whole preaching and everything that he's been doing, he's explaining that the gospel reveals one specific thing, and that's God's righteousness. Right? And it's something that we look for and we try to attain in the sense of, you know, some of the works that we do, that our mindsets are there. And it's not something that really is something that we can actually earn. But again, God gives us that righteousness. So we have His righteousness instead of ours. It's kind of a swap or just a deleting of us and putting Him in the picture. But there's only one way we can do that, isn't it? That is if we believe that who Christ is. Well, people don't believe in Christ. And so Paul's whole mission is to get people not to believe the lie that they've been told all of their lives, but believe the truth. So as we get to this section here and we look in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and 25, it says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppresses the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them." It's like even like what I read this morning, that God is in nature, God is in all around us. All we have to do is just open our eyes and realize that He is there. It says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Without excuse for what? Knowing God. Just as simple as that. That when we come before God in that judgment day, what's going to be our excuse? That we don't know Him. What's the world's excuse? "Well, I was told, you know, and I was..." God will say, "But you knew in your heart who I was. You could have, you should have, but you didn't. Because you believed a lie that was given to you." It says here, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." Know anybody like that? Yeah. Maybe even you or I could be reflected in that before knowing Christ. Right? But we've come a long ways. We've been touched by God and realized that there's a difference and we want something more. Scripture reads on and says that, "Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles." You know what we're talking about here? Idolatry. that men have chose idolatry over God. They wanted to make their own God so that their God could please them and to, give them the things that they want. Kind of a selfish thing. And if that God didn't work, they would just go to another God or to another God. But we know that there is only one God. And that's God Almighty. So therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. And this is the point that I want to make here. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Paul's heart knew that all these individuals that he was preaching to, they had believed a lie. And Paul wanted them to get rid of that lie and to believe the truth. His heart was so fixated on that he would do anything to reveal the lie in the individual and to also reveal the truth that needs to be there. That was his heart. That was his whole ministry was nothing more than just revealing that you folks have been living this lie and now you need to know the truth. The truth is so important because there's eternal consequences for what we choose to serve. Either we can serve these little idols that we make for ourselves or we can serve God Almighty. God gives us the choice to be able to do that. And Paul is realizing that so many people have been told a lie about who God is or what God is. And it's been generation after generation, so people just believe that. And that's why I think Paul sometimes speaks very, very, I see him as a very bold speaker, you know, kind of like, I don't want to say in your face type of preacher, but one that could just preach and preach and preach because he's got so much to say. And the demonstration of the Holy Spirit working to heal people and the combination of those two and the way he lived his life should, as an example to us, show that God is alive and that there's people that are just living this particular lie that Paul's been preaching about all the time. Well, there's some section in Book of John that we're going to be going to. And Jesus is talking to some of the Pharisees about that Jesus has seen the Father and all that he has for everyone. And all that Jesus wants to do is proclaim that truth to every individual here on this earth. And you know, that got people really upset that were in the Pharisees and stuff. Because Jesus says, God the Father is my Father. And then the Pharisees are saying, well, Abraham is our father and you can't take that away because I can show you all my lineage that shows you that, you know, my father was born of this guy, 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 born of this guy, and it takes me all the way back to Abraham. So I am a son of Abraham and I am one of the chosen to be able to be here today. And God says, Jesus says to them, your father is the devil. Well, you can just imagine why. Because these Pharisees were plotting to kill Jesus. And that has nothing to do with God the Father, the true God the Father. So that's why Jesus says these things. So let's just read this in John 8:42-45. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God. And now I am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say, you belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Those are pretty strong words. Especially if talking to people that are leading the church. That your father is the devil. Because their hearts were set on just personal gain. Period. And that's not the way of the true father. And Jesus is trying to explain to them, you know, what this is all about. He says that, you know, I have not come on my own, but just through the basic message of what God the Father has told me to say, I am telling you. Nothing of what I say is of my own. Nothing that I do is of my own accord. I only do what the Father has directed me to do. Every word that Jesus says is directed by the Father. And you would think, with the authority that was given him, that people would just flock to Christ. They would just want to hear what God the Father has for every individual. Like a touch of heaven has come down and is in our presence right now. God himself is here. And yet, what did the Pharisees want to do? But kill him. They didn't want anything to do with the true God. Because they believed a lie that has been given to them over and over and over. We get to choose truth or a lie. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing in between. You can't have half truths. That's like being half, you might be pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not. Right? You might be married. Either you're married or you're not. You live accordingly based upon what you've got. And so we choose. There's a line that the world has for you that says, just do it. There's a lie of the world that says that you're worth it. You know, treat yourself. You're worth it. And you're better than other people. And then there's God that says we are to be a servant of all. That we are to love one another. We get to choose. So this lie that we're talking about, this liar, this Satan guy, he started right out in the very beginning. We can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden and listen to what he has to say. So if we do that, go back to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 and 5. He says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had, God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, you may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you'll die. And this is Satan coming in. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So there's God saying, don't eat of the fruit. And then there's Satan saying, go ahead. Because if you do eat this, you're going to be just like God. That's a lie. That you're not going to die. And we do die. And I like what Pat brought up in Bible study about that. Who was it that? Maybe you can explain that better. Do you remember? No. Okay, well, there was a section. This is how I remember it. That it's a good thing that we do die so that we're not living in sin for eternity. That we didn't eat from the tree of life, but, you know, because of that sin that's in us. But that tree of life will be given back to us free to be able to live forever with God, and there'll be sin removed in a sense. So that was kind of nice. I didn't really think of that before. So that Bible study, again, is a really good thing that we've got. When we look over here, we're going to see that there's always the devil tempting us to believe a lie that the world has for you. But we have to be strong. We have to know who God is. We have to know His character. We have to know what He is like. And can we really trust God? So there's scripture, obviously, that talks about that. If we go to in Acts 5, 1 through 5, it talks about this gentleman and his wife, Ananias, and his wife, Sapphira. It was in the times of the early church where people would give some of their belongings for everybody in which to survive on. Well, there was some gentleman that was that sold his house and gave all of that, the earnings, to the church to distribute as it needed to be. What's his name there? Oh, Ananias decided to do that again. He saw the reception that this individual probably received and decided he was going to do the same. Except, instead of giving all of it, he secretly hid some of the money back for themselves. Now, he and his wife had every right in which to do that. But what they proclaimed was that they gave all of the money to the church. And because of that, we look at how God responds to using His name for a lie. So now a man named Ananias, together with his wife, how do you say it?
Sapphira.
Also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart? Remember who's Satan? But the king of lies, right? He's fed you a lie and you've believed it, so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold and after it was sold? Wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who had heard what had happened. Same thing happened to his wife. You see that when we believe the lie, we're held accountable for that in the eyes of God. That we're not just trying to persuade men to do anything, but our lies have a consequence with our relationship with God. That if we live that lie, we have no relationship with God. He wants us to be truthful with Him. Why? Because He is truthful with us. Let's look at Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 3. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God, God's elect, and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and at His appointed season, He brought His word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of our God and Savior. Do you believe that God lies? No. Is it even possible for God to lie? No. Then why do people not believe that God is who He says He is? It's because they believe a lie that's been given to them all their life. And we don't understand. We'll say things like, how is it possible that God can be such a loving God and yet some of the loved ones that we have passed away before their time? How is it that we serve a loving God and there can be wars? How is it that there can be God has directed some of the Israelites to actually conquer the Canaanites and kill them, men, women, children. But I'll have you know that God is holy. His holiness is abounds before everything. And even Paul knows that God can't lie. And there's promises that he's been given. God has given us promises. He gives us a truth that leads to righteousness. Not to self-righteousness, but godly righteousness. In Hebrews 6:16-20, it talks about that God can't lie. So it says here that men swear by something greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. And God did this so that by two unchangeable things, which is his promise and his oath, right? Which is, it is impossible for God to lie. We who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. That if God has given us a promise and has given us a hope and he doesn't lie, we can hang on to that no matter what this world has to offer. We have God, his truth, that's there, that will always be. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. I like these words. That we have a choice to believe in God who says that he will never lie, that God says that his promises will always stand, that God says that his oath is his oath, and he can swear on nothing higher than himself. Or we can believe what the world has for us, which is nothing. So much so that if we can actually take God's word for what it says. We don't have to read between the lines on this one here. It's right there in front of us. That we can find this truth. And that truth will help us. Because in John 8:31-32, he says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold on to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free from the bondage of this world. That when you know the truth, sin becomes intolerable in your life. And that you choose to serve God wholeheartedly with his righteousness. Because you know that there's that awesomeness of forgiveness. If God says that I can forgive you, then we're forgiven. We hold on to unforgiveness more so than what God does. We hold on to blame more so than what God does. We hold on to grudges more so than God does. But if we trust him and trust in his truth, we are set free of all the bondage of this world. And all of a sudden, isn't it the scripture that talks about and the world becomes strangely dim? It fades from our eyes because we're no longer looking at this world, but our eyes are focused on Jesus to know who the Father is. And the Holy Spirit can work in our lives in a much freer and a much blessed way. As Terry was saying, she's just answering a call that God has talked to her. And since then, look what she's doing. Guys, we can see it right in front of us. Having some of those children come to the church, we've been praying for them. We've been praying for, to be able to have that happen. We've got an individual that has answered the call, and God is blessing that. Because there's one that trusts God, trusts in his promise, trusts in his word, so much so that she was prepared even before the week that we were going to get started, that there were children right then and ready to go. And she said, God told me I need to be ready even today. So cool. This is really quite a blessing. So when we look at this is the last verse that we've got, but I do want to look at this one thing here. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. The truth really comes out in the New Testament. And when you actually have these words, I tell you the truth, Jesus says these words multiple times. Any idea how many times he says it in the book of Matthew? It's pretty cool. Like 30 times. Why do you think God would say, I tell you the truth? So you don't believe the lie. He's reminding the people all about the truths that he has. And it's truth about one thing. It's a truth about another thing. It's another truth about something else. The truth about who he is and the character of God. Well, it's mentioned some in Mark and Luke a few times. But in the book of John, it's mentioned 26 times in the book of John. I tell you the truth. There's a message here that God wants us to know the truth. This is how you know the truth. Read Scripture. Listen to Scripture. Discuss Scripture. If you want to know who God is, then read. Pray. And God will reveal, because he who knocks, the door will be open. He who seeks, the door will find. And what's the other one? Those who knock and the door will be open. Okay, thank you. You will find. Ask. That's it. Thank you, Armando. And it's all there. If you're seeking God, he will reveal himself. If there's a book out there that you're reading that deals with the mysteries of God and that only a certain individual knows those mysteries, throw the book out. God is not like that. God is one that reveals his truths to anyone and to everyone that's seeking. And you know, his truth will remain forever and ever and ever. The lie that some individuals in this world, many individuals in this world, believe leads to destruction. Satan is wrong. You will die if you believe the lie. And he knows that. All Satan wants to do is separate us from God. And he will feed you one lie after another. And if you don't believe that lie, he'll come up with another one. He is the father of lies. And God, our Father, is the Father of truth. Who do you want to serve? I say, for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Lord, I do thank you for today, and help us to have a discerning heart in all that we do, in all that we seek, that we're seeking truth, not just some information, but truth. That may lead us on that road of righteousness, that we can trust your promises, Lord, because you never lie. Scripture is an inspired word of God. When we read it and just accept it, that's when things begin to happen. Father, help us all. Help us to be like Paul in a way, to know that others have they've been misled by a lie, and that they just need to come back to the truth. Help us to be that avenue in which we could bring others to the truth, to know that they can have a righteousness, a completeness, a holiness that can never exist anywhere outside of God. And this I pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.